It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. Thank you so much for making time to chat to us this morning.
Morena.
Hey, we've got some big topics to talk about today. It has been a very intense couple of weeks since we last spoke to you, although I feel like this is something that we have been saying a lot this year. We have heard, though, the news that Andrew Falloon, the National MP from Rangitata, has resigned from Parliament over allegations that he sent pornographic images to several women. And then yesterday, your WorkSafe and Immigration Minister, Ian Lees-Galloway, was dismissed following the news that he had an affair with a staff. Why did he have to go, Prime Minister?
Yeah, so look, I think the first thing to say on the situation with one of my team, with our Workplace Relations and Safety Minister, was that there were a series of elements of this particular situation that led to my decision. So this was not a moral judgment. For me, this was an issue over the Minister opening himself up to accusation of improperly using his office. It was over a poor judgment over a sustained period of time. Particularly, he is our Minister for Workplace Relations and Safety. Mm. This was also someone that obviously we've identified as working within an agency that reported to him. So a series of reasons why, in my view, it was not tenable for him to remain in that role.
You'll be aware that this kind of behaviour in parliamentary politics often switches off voters from engaging with politics. Yes. It makes people feel kind of yucky about the whole thing. Do you think we're going to see a lot more of these kinds of allegations during this particular election campaign?
Yeah, and I'm constantly mindful of that. I mean, I remember when I first became leader of the Labor Party, you know, I said that I wanted to create a different environment, and actually we do have, you know, we do have the power to try and do that as leaders. And it's not only just how we manage issues when they come up, because, mm-hmm. you know, it's a workplace where these issues will come up. It's also about how we engage with each other. Now, I can't control everything, but I can control what we do. And I've been very clear with the team that I work with that we aren't going to be a party that engages in the personal. We are going to do the job that we got elected to do. And actually, for the most part, over our term in office, I believe that that's what we've done. But everyone, if we want to change the tone of Parliament, every leader needs to behave in that way as well.
What should we be doing, or what should be happening in Parliament to change this kind of culture, I guess, that we've this is not the first time we've had conversations like this in the last year and a half as a country.
No, that's right. Well, in part, I mean, we have actually quite a bit of work's gone on through the role of the Speaker, because even though, of course, our members of political parties are meant to take a bit more of an impartial role, the Speaker undertook something called the Francis Review, which looked at the culture in Parliament. It didn't just look at MPs and politicians, it looked at those who work there, it looked at the press gallery as well, made a series of recommendations. Off the back of that, quite a bit of work's been done around kind of a pseudo code of conduct around how we should operate in what is a highly political place. And so I do actually think there's been some progress, but it actually, the real test comes down to how everyone behaves in election years. That's when it's really heightened. That's where there's, you know, obviously a bit of a focus on more political point scoring. And that's the true test. So I'm going to keep doing what I've always said I would do. And then it's up to everyone else whether they do the same.
Just to return to the Falloon situation for a moment, how do you strike the balance between the mental health conversation, which is a very important one, and also taking responsibility for your actions or for somebody's actions?
Yeah, and that's an area where I've been a bit cautious because, you know, I don't know the individuals in question here. I work with them closely. In fact, even if I did, I would be cautious about making a judgment about the validity of someone's mental health claims. I just don't think that's something that that is for me to do. More generally, though, I do think we also have to be mindful that there, you know, we need to create a culture and environment where people feel like they can talk about mental health issues. And that means that we need to be cautious in when we're, you know, in high-profile roles about the way we react when those mental health issues are talked about. So it is a fine line there. I think we do need to be quite careful. So that's why I've made no judgment on any of that.
Now, I just wanted to turn to something else that we've seen in the last day. So you've said you'll be checking on the spending of Ian Lees Galloway across that period in question at the moment. Will you also be checking on the appropriateness of the Deputy Prime Minister's spending and what appears to be allowing two friends of his to go on a trip to Antarctica at what looks like the taxpayers' expense?
So on the Ian Lees Galloway situation, I have no reason to believe that there's been any inappropriate that's happened there, but just to assure ourselves of that, that is something I've said that I have asked ministerial services to look into. On the question of Antarctica, this issue was obviously, I only became aware of this issue when it was reported in the media. I think it's fair to say, so this relates to obviously a limited number of people travel into Antarctica, and often for a range of reasons. It's been established for a long time. It's actually not particularly a set of criteria over who goes. A number of politicians have been, many for very good reason, given their responsibilities. We have artists to go. We have musicians, photographers. We have, obviously, those who routinely go, who are part of the science program. On one of the visits, our Minister of Finance was intended to go but was unable to at the last minute. And it does, the Minister of Foreign Affairs is involved. He has oversight of Antarctica, New Zealand. So he is involved in who goes down to Antarctica. And as I say, it can often be ad hoc, those decisions. He put forward to individuals with on the basis, we have a huge Scott-based redevelopment in Antarctica. New Zealand is being asked to find supplementary support, philanthropic sponsorship, business opportunities to help support the redevelopment of Scott Base. So it was on that basis that he made the recommendations of these two individuals. As I say, not something I've had any involvement in. I do think that there's something to be said about us maybe thinking a little bit about the process we use for who goes down there, just to give a bit of cover, because actually some people who go there, they go for very legitimate reasons and they wouldn't want to have that brought into question.
I did just want to touch base on the quarantine situation at the border. Both the National Party and your own government have been discussing potential different ways of possibly charging returning New Zealanders for part of the cost of their managed isolation. And we've seen a lot of criticism of this in the last couple of weeks, particularly from New Zealanders living overseas. You've indicated you want to understand the full legality of any possible action before making a decision. What are the main legal issues you're concerned about?
Well, it's a simple Bill of Rights issue. If you're a New Zealand citizen, you shouldn't experience barriers that prevent you from being able to return to your legal place of residence. And so, you know, that doesn't mean it's impossible, but that means that we need to give this really strong consideration. The other thing that I've said is that I do draw a bit of a distinction between, you know, Kiwis who have lived overseas, as I have, who, you know, through no fault of their own, find themselves caught up in a global pandemic and may choose at some point to come home. And, you know, that's through no fault of their own. They're in those circumstances. And I see that as different from those Kiwis who are here, who are leaving with the intent to then come back, because there are choices there for them. They're already safely here in New Zealand and they're choosing to leave.
Are you talking about people possibly going on holiday, for example?
Going on holiday, some people may, for work purposes, travel. Mm-hmm. And so I do see those as different circumstances. And many, I imagine, actually, in those circumstances, would be willing to cover the costs. Mm-hmm. So we're just getting full consideration, but there are a range of options within there that aren't just every single person being in the same position and required to be charged.
We've personally, at this station, seen a lot of young people quite concerned about what this might mean for them if they've been overseas, as you're saying, living or on their OEs or studying, for example. And also a lot of Māori concerned about what that could mean for them if they are potentially charged to return to New Zealand. Do you have any reassurances or any suggestions for what overseas New Zealanders should be thinking about right now?
I would just say to anyone overseas, look, we haven't, you know, announced any decision in this area yet. The kinds of things that you've just raised are the exact issues that, you know, as a government we are rightly have considered. And as I've said, you know, I think of this through that lens as well, because I have been in those circumstances. I have both studied abroad and I have lived abroad. And so all of those things are in our thinking. We will be very, very careful about the decisions we make here. But till then, you know, obviously the situation is right now that we're covering everyone.
Well, that might be all we have time for this morning, Prime Minister, but we really appreciate you making the time to have a chat to us on a Thursday, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Ka kite. Have a good day.
Ka kite, you too.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.